to read from the book of Daniel, chapter 6. As was even mentioned in the prayer, this is a story that is very familiar to us. It is a story that if we were blessed to be raised in a Christian home, whether it's our parents that told us this story or brought us to Sunday school where we heard the story, it's a story that we've come to know and love from our early youth. And it is a story that is very very powerful in its display of the power of God in the heart of a man who loved him. Last Sunday, a comment was made to me about Daniel. And I thought about Daniel throughout the week, off and on. And one thing that really kind of struck me is in the first chapter, in verse number 8, it said that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. So Daniel, as we know, as a saying is of Daniel, Daniel, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. So dare to have a purpose. And it says here that Daniel had a purpose. And he had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and drink. And then dare to make it known. So having a purpose and making it known is two different things. You can't really have a purpose unless you make it known, because then there can't be a purpose. Because we know that everything that we purpose to do, we make it known what we are doing. We will do what we have a purpose to do. So the thought is, do we really have a purpose in our life? Have we purposed ourselves in our hearts, as Daniel did, that he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat, the king's drink, the music, and all that was going to be around the meat or the table of the king? And so Daniel, in his purpose, he also had a life of prayer, because you can't purpose in your heart to do or to, you know, especially us today, we can easily have a purpose in our heart that we will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can have that purpose. We can all say that. We can really, in our mind, in our heart, we can really mean it. I want to follow Jesus. I will do that. I'm going to purpose it to do that. Now, if we just stop there, we're done. We're already defeated. Because we have to recognize, Daniel recognized his limitations. He had limitations because there was a world. You know, we prayed that our ship of faith wouldn't get tossed to and fro. It's very easy. It's very easy for us to have to make a purpose known. I am a Christian, and then allow my faith to the ship to just. It's much easier to just let my ship float along the stream of the world. It's hard. The hardest thing is to say no. It takes courage. You know, we say it takes so much courage to go into the battlefield, or a man shows so much courage in this valiant thing that he does. And so, no, the most courage a man can ever display is to say no. No, when the world is pulling and driving us to go against the stream, to say no. You have to have a purpose. And with that purpose, you have to realize you have limitations. And so you turn to God in prayer, who is the source of all power. And now you are a man with purpose and with prayer, recognizing your own limitations, recognizing you have no means of fulfilling your purpose. You turn to God in prayer, and God, Daniel alone, he could have never stood against the king. He could have never done anything. But suddenly it was now God and Daniel. And the world was powerless. And so we have before us here a description of this plot that was set up for Daniel. Why? Because of jealousy. Daniel was a man that it tells us here was being promoted rapidly. You know, this kingdom had provinces over it, and there's three presidents over each one, and Daniel's now being made the first of the presidents, or where the others would have to even come to him to give him answer of the books and whatever it is in the kingdom of how it is working and how it is going. And these other men didn't like the thought that they have to give an answer to this Daniel. They were jealous. And it tells us here that they decided they're going to find a fault with him. And, you know, I know when we read this, it said that they sought to find occasion against Daniel. You know, if someone were to really look into your life and my life, let's say we've made a purpose known, and they want to find a fault with us, can they? The life that we put on display everywhere we go, is it a life that they can scrutinize and find no fault in? I'm talking about our whole life, where they look into every nook and cranny of our lives. Can they come out and say, he is faithful. There's no occasion of fault in him. There's no error. There's nothing found in him. You know, when our government wants to do an investigation into our lives, they can find a lot. They can find a lot. And they did this here. They had the realm of the kingdom to go after Daniel. They had all the resources to go after Daniel, and they couldn't find anything. With all of the technology as advanced as it is today, what are they going to find on you and me? In Daniel, they found nothing. Why? He had a purpose. He purposed in his heart. And he took it to the Lord in prayer. And he prayed. He had a place that he prayed three times a day. That wasn't legalism. That wasn't legalism where he said, okay, I have to go now. I have to go now. This was something that Daniel went to the Lord in prayer. It was his time to spend with the Lord because he realized his own limitations and he realized the purpose that he had to serve a living God. He could not do on his own. He needed God. And so he called upon the living God to give him the courage and the strength and the power to go, to row against the stream, and the courage to say no. And so we know the story, very familiar how it goes, that They said the only way they can do this is to make a decree. And the decree, once it's signed by the king, cannot be altered even by the king. And the king was totally fooled into this. He wasn't even thinking of what he was signing. It was the most silly thing you could sign. That no one can make a request of no one for 30 days other than the king. No God and no man. That means a child can't even ask his mom for food. There's no request that can be made known, can be made to anyone except the king for 30 days. He realized how foolish he was later. But he got swept up in that moment. A moment of, O king, sign this. We only want you to be the one to be asked of anything and so on. And it got to him, apparently. And he signed it. Not thinking even of what he was doing. And the thing is, they knew. The people knew. Or the princes. They knew that if they're going to find any fault, they said. It says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. What a powerful testimony to the world. They hate him. They hated our Lord. They couldn't find any fault. It says, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And so that's why they knew. They knew. And they looked for him. As soon as the decree was signed, I think it was immediately, the same day, 6 hours later at noon, whenever, it was immediately, they found him because they were looking for him. Now, could Daniel have just gone into a secret chamber and prayed? God is everywhere. You know, when the world, every place in this world is a temple for us where we can pray and God will hear us. God will hear us when we are driving our cars and our thoughts go heavenward. He hears us. Those are prayers. Every thought we have that is Godward is a prayer. Everywhere we are, when we think of him, it's a prayer. We're thinking of him. And there's some thought to that. And so, could Daniel have done that? He could have. He could have. But knowing what the decree was and knowing what his manner was, he continued as he was. He continued as he always did. I know what I would reason. And see, our prayer life has to be like Daniel's. Otherwise, our purposes will fail. They just will fail. How many times have we failed when we set out? Okay, today. Okay, this and we just fail because our prayer life isn't what Daniel's is. In our prayer life, we have to recognize. And we can say, well, I know, of course I know God is more powerful than me. I know I can't do it on my own. That's not the point. We know that. But in our prayer life, are we going to submit to that power and tell God or ask of God and pray? That's what the prayer is, asking. Because they said, he prayed. They know when you pray to God, you're asking him. You're asking him. And so in his prayer life, in our prayer life, have we come to that point where the purpose that we have now coupled with our prayer life, does it bring clarity to my life? Why are Christians so into sinning. So on the edge, always on the edge, coming to the edge, pushing the limits, going as far as you can. Oh, it's not sin, and so on. Why? You've lost your purpose. Guaranteed you've lost your purpose. Because clarity is given to a man of purpose in prayer. That's what the prayer does. When we come to God and we ask Him that the purpose that we have is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my God. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my all. When He is that, Lord, give me. It says in if I can find it here, it tells us that that an excellent spirit was in Daniel. I'm not locating now, but we read it was an excellent spirit that was found in Daniel. So, with the Spirit of God, how can you and I not have clarity as Daniel did? Because with that purpose that he had, with the prayer, God gave him clarity that no, you don't belong at the king's table while your people are in bondage and slavery for you to enjoy the pleasantries of life while they are suffering and so on. You're going to be defiled there. You're going to be led astray there. Don't go there. And Daniel wasn't going to do that because he had a clear vision. And so you and I push limits often in many things. And the things that we, you know, anything that you do, that I do, that we that one who is looking at me to find a fault in me, okay, maybe it's not to throw me in a den of lions, but he's looking to find a fault with me so that he can feel better himself, and he's going to find a fault. Have I given myself liberties? Because the clarity has been dimmed. Because my prayer life isn't strong. Because my purpose really isn't. I'm just using my lips to announce my purpose, but it's not in my heart. Because if it's in my heart, then an excellent spirit will come in, and he will rule in my heart and give me the courage to say no. No, we have that courage. And so Daniel, here it tells us, you know, the very familiar to us, the king, what he did. He realized what he did when they came to him and said, hey, this Daniel's praying. He said he spent the entire evening trying. He's looking through the loopholes in the law. Can he find anything in which he can undo this? He signed it. He couldn't come up with anything. He couldn't come up with anything. And so it tells us here that he was sore displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And they reminded him of this law. So the king spoke, and I don't know if he really believed this, but he said, Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Because we find that the king now, in his palace, okay, just being in a palace is a place of extreme comfort. Daniel's in the den of lions. The king is in a palace. He doesn't want any music around him. Music can't comfort him. There's no sleep. He lost his ability to sleep. He can't sleep all night. He doesn't want anything. He's in a state of severe depression. He rises up early, and it says he makes haste. He himself goes. He doesn't go get a report, someone, tell me what's going on. He gets up out of his bed, which he didn't sleep in, and he rushes to the den. Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? And Daniel says, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Did Daniel know that when he went to pray? I believe it's the same situation as with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said, know, O king, that our God is able to save us. But if it's in his will that we perish, just know one thing, we will never bow before your idols. The courage to say no, because the purpose and the prayer brought a clarity in their life of what they should do. It would have been wrong for Daniel to have hid in the basement and prayed and to pray, because they were looking for a testimony, and Daniel put it on display. Not him, his submission. He put his submission to his God on display. That was the testimony. His submission to his God, the living God, the one who can deliver him. And so you and I, brothers and sisters, if we are to make our purpose known, dare to make it known, that means going against the tide, going against the stream of the world. And the world, in all its power, is powerless. The lions had no power. Imagine that. Lions. Couldn't touch him. And he says, O king, you know, I've done you no hurt. By worshiping my God, I'm not hurting you. See, because in his service to his God, as honest and as clear as his vision was on what he would be involved in this life, the king promoted him over and over again at a very rapid pace. He says, I did you no hurt by going to my God in prayer. And the king, it tells us here that he was exceeding glad. And he commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And it says, no man was hurt, was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Now, does that mean that God delivers us from all hurt? No, of course not. But he delivers us from the power of the evil. The world, in all its evil, sought to go against one man, and they couldn't. It changed the heart of the king, just like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had to go through humiliation to be humbled. The king here, and he decreed, made the decree that the God of the Jews was the only God. As Nebuchadnezzar did, so does Darius here in this chapter. Imagine two of the most powerful men in the world in that time coming to their senses and realizing who God is. What if this story were to take place today? What do you think the outcome would be today? Really, if this could happen today in America, because we are the United States is the power of the world. Would anything change? Do you think our president would come to this acknowledgement? It's very hard today because we live in a world that is, that you know, our lives are way easier than the lives of Daniel and than those who lived in Daniel's age. Much, much easier. But this was a very, very corrupt time that they lived in. And it's just that today the sources of evil are much larger. There's many more things and ways in which to deceive a heart of man and to cause him to take those steps into territory that if he really had a purpose like Daniel, he wouldn't be in. Because if he had the purpose, he would have the clarity if he had the prayer. And that would give him the power to overcome and to go against the stream. It's a beautiful decree that the king makes. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Of course, you can't make a man tremble before God. You can't just make a decree and say, but this was his decree that there is one God to be feared, the living God. And he described him as one who is steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, and hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. The men who were jealous, who hated Daniel for no reason, didn't get by so pleasantly as Daniel did. And so the lions had the mastery of them. Shred them to pieces. They dug the pit, right, for someone else, and they fell into it themselves. But dear ones, with this chapter, and I'm encouraged, and I pray that all of us are encouraged to really consider in our heart what is really my purpose. And is that purpose being really fulfilled? Is it very clear to me what I need to stay away from? If it's not, if I find myself losing the witness, losing my witness, my testimony, it's because I'm not in prayer. I have not accepted that there are limitations to my flesh and I cannot fulfill these things. And so I've become a very legalistic man. And I come to church and I go to sin on Monday and I go to sin and I come to church and God is a God of grace and he's going to forgive me. That's no purpose. There's no prayer there. You become a mechanical prayer rather than a spiritual. An excellent spirit was in him. The spirit had the excellency over and the mastery over his flesh. His flesh was subdued. Its power was put down, subdued under the excellent spirit that was in him because he had a purpose and he went to God in prayer. And God gave him a clear vision, a clear understanding, a knowledge, and the power and the courage to say no to this world. May he bless this word upon each of our hearts this evening. Amen.